Hey,
everybody.
Hey,
everybody.
Hey,
everybody.
Let me tell you guys that I am so excited. I am so happy. I am really so thrilled to be right now sharing this amazing,
glorious, super excited. We're back with Arturo Chase for the long expected. Currently, there were many listeners that were interested in the Capital Markets podcast, and currently it's been the hottest podcast on our platform because people see what's happening around and they want to listen to the advice of a professional. But the one that we did was how long ago? 3 months? 2 months?
Browsers.
And we talked a little bit about the virus. We joked a little bit, but nobody's joking now, right?
Jokes are over.
Nobody. It's still important to keep the positive attitude, but it's also referred to be hyper-realistic. I really appreciate you guys inviting back, and I'm sure this will be a very informative and also a useful conversation as well.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we're not meeting face-to-face. Unfortunately, the new world is via camera.
All digital now. It's all digital. But we will do the next one. We will do face to face, hopefully. Hopefully without masks, you know.
Yeah. So I guess, we're going to be talking about the capital markets. And if anybody who's listening, tuning in for the first time and doesn't know who Arturo is, you're economics graduate from Harvard. Worked for Bridgewater Associates, the Ray Dalio company, very, very, very famous. At the same time, you can listen to two episodes with Arturo on our podcast, the Capital Markets 1 and 2. And this is basically the extension of Capital Markets 3. And again, Arturo is also CEO of Genesis AI, a machine learning startup, if I can say. I'm not sure if I'm properly categorizing. So welcome to the podcast. And today we're going to... What the fuck is happening?
Let's get straight to the point. What the fuck is happening?
Is the Soviet Union declining again or what?
No time to be politically correct here. And the reason why lots of politicians have been very politically correct is one reason why we are where we are now. And I just want to provide sort of disclaimer here is that I will not sugarcoat anything. I will talk about everything the way it is. And I would say that will do a lot more good to the people than sugarcoating everything and pretty much lying to people in front of their face, which lots of politicians do, you know. They do not want to cause shock. They do not want to cause fear. And people who are most informed are ones who lie the most. So this is very, very strange times to live in because all the information that we are given every day, I would say most of them are completely false.
It's right. probably sugarcoated information to avoid. No, can you read? Yeah. Most of the time, sugarcoated information that just tries to avoid panic. But with this false information, then people try to spread counter false information, and then nobody knows anymore what's true, and then as a result everybody becomes paranoid. That's one thing.
Exactly, Bill. And lads, this is information or warfare. People are spreading all types of rumor. For example, I have a friend who wants to buy cigars cheap and resell it high. And he's more, you know what's his marketing strategy? His marketing strategy is to spread rumors online that cigar kills coronavirus. So this is his
marketing. The funny thing is it could work. It could work.
So this is the world we're living in. Think about people who are at a much higher level, senators, a head of intelligence who sold stock before this crash happened, right? You hear everything magnified right now.
Yeah. So let's maybe provide a little bit of structure to the listeners. Because I think last time when we were talking, let's pick up where we finished the last podcast, right? So I think last time while we were talking, the virus was in China. We were kind of talking about, are the Chinese lying? Bill suggesting the Chinese were lying. Very, very, very...
I remember Bill did suggest that. I'm joking,
but no. We were at the point was like, okay, what's happening in China, right? So what happened since then? You know, like, can we summarize what happened?
And I remember we were very concerned about Germany, and correctly, we were very concerned. Yeah. So what's happening since then? So let's talk about markets and let's talk about the health and safety, right? I would say these are three most important things right now. So I think people care too much and think too much about the health and think very little about the economy and about the safety. I will talk about what I mean by safety. But to start from the markets, we have economic environment where we are at the end of the long-term debt cycle right now, which means that companies are extremely over-leveraged. You have interest rates close to zero or negative even, which means monetary policy is not effective. You have also big populism going on, huge inequality in the country, and you also have US-China war, right? Which right now is a trade war, and it can easily turn into something much worse in the next few years if depression hits. And we are at this environment, and then this trigger appears, right? Virus appears. And I would argue that it does not matter what the trigger is. If the economy is fundamentally bad and fundamentally ready to start declining because debt levels cannot continue rising much faster than income forever, right? Because debt is all about borrowing from your future income. It was just a matter of time, just a matter of trigger before things would sort of burst. And people think that this will be a V-shaped recovery, but I expect much worse than 2008, much worse. And this will be, so far, if you take a look, volatility declined. So people are not as scared as they were a few weeks ago. But at the same time, people are gradually realizing that. First, people realize that we are in a recession. 2 weeks ago, are we in a recession? Question mark, right? So very soon, what people will realize is this going to recover very fast or this is going to stay here. Once people realize this is going to stay here, market will gradually go down even more and more. And then if there's not enough fiscal stimulus, you will go something as crazy as Great Depression, which was like 85% decline from the peak.
So let me just say one thing. We were talking about the health, the safety, and the economics. Do you think that, I mean, mostly now what they're talking about is basically that in terms of health, right? I personally think that the biggest problem is that you have this ratio between the beds that you can offer in the hospitals, where you can get 900,000 people in the United States at a time, right? In the hospitals. And that's basically not even considering that there are people there for other diseases, right? So if you get a big surge of people getting sick, then you will have a scenario as in Italy where you don't have enough beds, then more people die, and then you have more mortality, right? Italy is, I think, 8-9%, but in general it's like 4.3. Mm. So do you think maybe at the same time that the economic the economic impact and the health impact are correlated at these times?
It's a very good point. Vlad, absolutely, you are absolutely right. People think the reason why Italy has such a high fatality rate is because they have a huge number of old population. It's absolutely wrong. Japan has much older populations than Italy, for example, right? It has very little to do with that. What it has to do is how overwhelmed hospitals are. Because if you look at statistics, around 20% of people require hospitalization. So if you require hospitalization and there is nowhere to be hospitalized, guess what? You are unfortunately probably gonna, something very bad will happen, So I would argue that it's very likely, especially in New York City, which is already epicenter, and I would say it will only get much, much, much worse relative to other places. You will have convergence from hospitalization rate and fatality rates. So I would say that New York will have higher fatality rates than Italy, substantially higher.
I agree completely. There is one, I think, outside factor that might change that, but I'm not sure, because I know that Trump was talking about in his task force meetings every day, but he was talking about sending the military, and I think the US military, they plan to basically make pop-up hospitals And I don't know, hopefully you spend billions of dollars in your military. Hopefully they can make a hospital in New York, you know, and help them out with this. They're sending ships, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Hospital ships, one to California, one to New York, as I heard. I don't know how big of an impact this will have.
Well, what I also think, which is even exacerbating the downturn here, is that it's not just an economic yield related downturn, that it's just that the economic yield goes down. It's also that people are falling sick. They're unproductive. And they're falling sick, which is incurring expenses being treated. So you are feeling well again. And on top of that, you cannot pay the debt from the healthcare expense, and you cannot pay the debt you have on top of that. So it's like a double downturn, so to say, almost.
Double whammy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Because here is saying economy is driven by productivity. It's large degree, right? And people are much less productive when they are working from home. 80 to 90% of Americans cannot do any work if they do not go to the premise. And even us, all these tech people, you know, even I feel 5 times less productive when I'm working from home. So we have, people do not realize that we have huge shock to productivity. Not only people are not working at all, but those ones who are working, their productivity slashed by 5x. 5x. And in terms of hospitals, you know, there are a limited number of ships, Bill and Vlad, that can be sent, right? It's very limited. There's conversation Trump is talking about 1,000 beds. That's a joke. No, we are talking, I would bet in New York we already have 200,000 cases. South and around 10 to 20% of them require hospitalization, right? So soon you will have around 40, 50,000 people who will require hospitalization right now, right? And 1,000 is very, very little percentage of that. So here's Trump's speech, usually great because it gives people some sort of hope, right? But it's also usually far away from, I would say there's a lot of sugarcoating going on there, you know. His speech is more about we're going to win and we're going to do great rather than actually talking about how great things will be done, you know.
And then, for example, you have these short-term stimulus programs that they are trying to pass a bill that everybody gets $1,000. The latest one is then $1,200. This is only something you can maybe survive 2 months with. In Boston, 1 month, that is one rent for most people in Boston. So this is also something that is, they're trying to redistribute wealth and they're trying to give some taxes back, but it will only maybe cover 10% of the duration-wise of this whole crisis. So I think this is all spoken pessimistically, realistically, not enough.
Just to add one thing, I think they're giving it at least per month, the 1,200.
Per month?
Per month, yeah.
They're not a one-time thing.
No, I think they're trying to give it per month. I'm not really sure, because I saw that they're trying to pass a bill now. They still haven't passed anything. I think it's going to Senate, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, the government is the only employee when the shit hits the fan, you know, like when you have war times, when you have, you know, I don't know if from Georgia, I don't know from Montenegro, when government was the only employee back in the day when it was terrible. It's like the government is spending money. The businesses are out, you know.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, even 1-4 per month is not enough. Because if you look, most people have individually, per individual, they have at least, you know, like 3,000 monthly expense, right? So, and now I would say their expense will be even magnified, right? Because lots of them will need to be hospitalized, right? So they will have health costs right now, right? And also many other things. For example, you need to buy masks, right? And masks cost very high right now. If you want to buy hand sanitizer, you probably will be able to buy it for $200, you know. So if you hear this thing, if you will be very careful in protecting yourself, that will cost lots of money. And if you will not be very careful in protecting yourself, that will also cost you lots of money because you will get the virus, you know. So this $1,000 is nothing. It's a joke. Just imagine in San Francisco, average rent price there, one bedroom apartment is around $4,000. 3.5K, right? So, and do you think people are considering now that they will be like, okay, this month you can not pay this rent? No, of course not, because the people who are renting things out, they are also ones who really need the money. So if you ask people who rent a place, you say, okay, don't ask people to rent, then they will go under, right?
Because it's all intertwined.
Cascading effect this time.
Yeah, it's the kind of the butterfly effect.
And economically spoken, who would you say, because China was paralyzed, is now recovering again slowly. EDS is still paralyzed. It's still full blown here, the downturn. Who would you say will be affected the most next to China, US, and Italy? What, among our known candidates, who will be suffering the most for the next months, maybe even a year?
Let me extend one question to this thing. To his question as well. Do you think that in these days, by looking at the numbers of people who are infected and looking at beds and the data with regards to health, you can kind of not predict, but you can kind of see what the economic impact will be? Because maybe in this case, there, you know, if you have people sick throughout next 6 months, you're going to have a lockdown for 6 months, the impact is higher and stuff like this. Do you think there is a kind of a correlation? I guess, I don't know.
It's a good question. Yeah. So to be honest, I think I don't really think about the number of cases per country in determining how bad this will be economically. And here is why. Because every country will get lots of infections. It does not matter, you know. And even if you do not get lots of infections, your neighbors will probably get it. So you will get the big trade hit, right? So what's countries who are going to rise up after this problem and who will not have disasters are ones who had opportunity to do monetary policy when interest rates were not still zero, and governments whose politicians reacted with fiscal policy very fast and very big. So China, for example, their interest rates are around, you know, like 5%. So they have lots of opportunity to stimulate the economy. US had five times less, right? Europe had no ammunition, no monetary policy ammunition. In terms of fiscal policy, China was very efficient in locking everything down, right? Yes, some people might argue that they went against, you know, liberty and freedom of doing whatever you want and blah, 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 but it worked. Effectively, it worked. It's much harder to do that in Europe and in US, and it already has not been done, you know? So I would say, you know, that's one factor. The second factor is, are you service-based economy or not? China is not as much because it's mostly manufacturing economy. Because manufacturing is easier to continue than services, right? You're much more likely to get virus when you are about to cut your hair versus when you are manufacturing an EU in N95s, right? I guess Bill changed his mind to cut the hair.
Exactly. Good catch. We were just talking about it. I was thinking I want to go cut my hair, but I was thinking.
Yeah, you see, I was telling him, what, you're gonna go cut your hair? This is like going to a restaurant. Plus, the guy who cuts your hair is cutting the hair to 10 people, and his face is right next to your face. Exactly. So probability per day, you know, like one.
Yeah, I know. You just need one cough and that's it, you know. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Oh.
So true.
Regarding Europe, you have already mentioned it. So the monetary policy instruments in Europe are very limited. The interest rates are already very low. So you can maybe would you say we see something like -10% interest rate and loans for everybody, or how would you think they would reignite this? Because it's very hard to spark growth now after this.
Or can they, you know, like honestly,
maybe you think of something really new?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, to be honest, I don't think interest rates can go lower than -2-3% because it causes lots of other problems, you know. To be honest, let's deal with realities. Monetary policy doesn't work. No matter what they're going to do, nothing will work. Only thing they can make sure right now is that they will have liquidity in the markets, you know. So the way people need to make transactions, especially banks, they will be able to have liquidity there. And they made it sure. But this goes beyond it. You need extraordinary fiscal stimulus. And just imagine in US, people Trump did first $8 billion. Then they did $100 billion. Now they are debating $1 or $2 trillion bill, and Democrats in Congress are like, that's not what we like it, you know? So it's already too late. And even if it happens in the next few weeks, it will not be enough. And here is why. Because people are reactionary instead of being predictive, right? So its idea here is, instead of doing whatever it takes to avoid getting a disease, you do what, you live normal life, and then you go to doctor when you get disease, right? So instead of you making a prediction that you are likely to get a disease if you do not do X, Y, Z, you act reactionary. Once you get it, you act. So say similarly here, economy is already almost done. So they are acting right now, and you cannot take, you. When people are scared, they want to sell. There is almost nothing that will change their mind at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to say as well, we can see, I think, maybe let's provide a little bit structure, but just because of the listeners. I don't know how many people are like following the situation as much. I'm super paranoid. I'm following all the financial situations, not sleeping very well, but let's maybe look at United States as an example, you know, because most of our listeners as well from United States, we're all the United States, and it's what, 24% of the GDP of the world. We can immediately,
probably not anymore, you know, probably a little less now.
Exactly. So that's to the point. I think we were discussing this as well in the previous podcast, is that what you mentioned, we had low interest rates, even the big hedge fund managers are coming out, they were saying, when the recession comes, there is not going to be as many tools to fight it. Nobody was predicting coronavirus. This is worse than any kind of recession, because you go from 100 to zero immediately. It's like stop everything. And then we can see these companies that are the hardest hit, and Marriott, Hilton, all the Airbnbs, the WeWorks, JetBlue airline distributors, they're all kind of shutting down, right? That's in the kind of terms of US what we're talking about now. And do you think, explaining it to the, I don't know, the general listener to our podcast, which we appreciate a lot, how does this, I think people fail to understand the transition between, okay, these companies are failing and we understand why, because the airlines are not flying. Okay, that's very easy to understand. But how does this come to the banks, right? I think people miss steps. Is like, okay, the bar is closed, the banks don't have money. Why? You know, that's the question.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah. It's very hard to attribute cause-effect relationships here. And I have to say this about WeWork, you know. No company deserves to go out of business except WeWork, okay? WeWork, it's a terrible company, absolutely terrible company, with the worst leadership, with the worst CEO in the world. And we'll see what's going to happen to them, you know. But in general, no company deserves. No company deserves. So going back to the question. So, here is seeing how all interacts. So when it all starts from the bottom. So first hit was things got shut down, right? Restaurants care no more customers. You have barbers who don't have any customers. Here we see Bill doesn't plan to get his haircut anymore, and you have lots of cases like that. Then what's how businesses respond? They fire people, right? Because otherwise they won't tank it. They fire people. Then these people have no money to spend. If you have no money to spend, that means less income for other people, right? Because your spending is someone else's income, right? Then when you have no money to spend, if fiscal policy is not enough, and it's always never enough, you start defaulting on your debt, right? Lots of people live paycheck to buy paycheck. When you start defaulting on a debt, you as a consumer and lots of businesses, then hits the bank, all of whom are completely leveraged, right? They cannot absorb more than 5-10% of defaults, you know, and if that number is reached, then you have a real problem. Government usually will come in and make sure that these banks will not go under, you know. So I don't think we should expect banks to go under, but you will have I would bet very high unemployment rate, over 10% unemployment rate. You know, I would even say 15% unemployment rate in the next 12 to 24 months. You know, and just wait for a few things. Wait for hedge funds, mutual funds, pension funds, insurance companies reporting big losses in the next few weeks. People will realize that, oh, you know, I just lost 30, 40, 50% of all my life savings, you know. And this is the saddest part. Old people lose almost all their savings because they have so much exposure to savings and markets, right? Because of their retirement stuff. And they also have the health problem. And also no one really, they cannot socialize, right? So lots of old people already feel lonely. And now they cannot socialize with anyone. So, and many countries have big number of old people, you know, so this is very, very bad, very, very sad. And it's a crime that fiscal policy is not timely and is not big enough. Fiscal stimulus is not. This is crime. This is the biggest crime. The coronavirus will not kill as many people as indecisiveness of fiscal stimulus actions.
Let me just ask. I have a follow up, quick. In terms of the fiscal stimulus, I think when they announce the fiscal stimulus, usually how the governments raise money is by issuing the debt, right? And we saw like in one day that kind of investors freaked out and in an unprecedented manner started selling the government treasuries. The yields went up. The gold price went down. Do you think this is something that we should expect kind of with all this debt, because they're all these governments have to go in debt basically now, and we're already in like I don't know, we were very leveraged, and now you have to, governments have to raise more debt, put more bonds in the market, decrease the price of bonds and stuff. What do you think about this?
Yeah, exactly. So so this is what we're gonna get. We are gonna get real interest rates to go up, not go down. And people do not realize how this might happen, you know. I don't want to get too much into technical stuff right now, but when there are lots of big problems, real interest rates actually go up, right? Because it's all depend on the supply and demand dynamics, right? So number of people who would like to get a loan, a number of people who are offering a loan, right? This all depends on that. What financial engineering tricks Federal Reserve can do, that's secondary, you know? Same way as you cannot boost real GDP by doing financial tricks, same way you cannot do anything with real interest rates when you're already out of ammunition, you know? Real interest rates. And that's why I'm very concerned about the bill. Because we already have huge leverages in companies and governments, and if you go lots more than that, people will completely believe that they will be able to pay their debt, you know? And what happens then? Let's say you are in Venezuela and you realize that governments that owes lots of money to companies, people, and so on cannot pay money back. So unless they print lots of money, right? So you assume that, of course, they will cover their debt by printing lots of money. And when people realize that, that's when you go from disinflation and recession to inflation and recession. And that's much worse, and no one is even talking or thinking about this. Because lots of people are fleeing to cash now, right? But they do not realize that this cash might become lose like 50-60% of the value or more when we hit this disinflation to inflationary recession.
Can I interrupt you for a second with the out of the box question? Do you think that this might be an opportunity for Bitcoin?
That's a great question, and I think it will be. I think in few weeks this will be a great opportunity for Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has been designed to fight against governments printing too much money and causing inflation, you know. And I would bet, I expect Bitcoin to go down substantially next few weeks, maybe reach 2.5K. And then when this change from disinflation research to inflation recession happens, and if it happens, which might take, you know, 6-12 months, then I would say Bitcoin can easily go to 20K, 30K, 40K. and gold will be also a great time to hold, and also inflation-linked bonds. So this will be my sort of like, this is what I'm thinking right now. I think it makes sense to hold a little bit of inflation-linked bonds, a little bit of gold, a little bit of Bitcoin. Because same second people realize that we might get big inflation, these prices will go through the roof. Because the markets, six changing markets in hours these days, you got the 1930s depression across 2-3 years, you know. Now things change 10 times faster. So, and people use all these previous models, right? They are thinking, oh, S&P 500 declined 55% between 2007, December to 2009. And so we expect recession here to last for 2 years. No, it's not going to, bottom will not be reached in 2 years. Probably will be reached much faster and much worse, much deeper decrease will happen much faster. So.
Yeah, it's not the same S&P, you know, the technology and everything, the flow of information changed quickly, even from 2008, but not even to compare to 1930, it's nothing to do with it, how it works.
I think in general, the monetary policy instruments have reached their limit, their overall limit, because it's always targeting the business side, but the business side is still so at risk that the business side will not turn it around. Because at the end of the day, the lower level, the consumer side and the people offering the services to businesses is still hampering. So when you're only helping the second layer, but you actually should help the third layer to strengthen this, the second layer again, I think this is where we see that we might need to rethink stuff entirely. Maybe, I don't know, offer some sort of fiscal policy, especially for the people.
Exactly. Absolutely. And absolutely. This is what so people are asking whether this will flow into credit system or not. And I would say 90% probability it already did and it will. And here is why. Because just imagine you are a business owner and government tells you, oh, I can give you 0.1% interest rate loan. If you get it, what you're going to do with it? Are you going to open a new restaurant or are you going to build a new factory? Of course not, right? You're so pessimistic about the future that you're going to hold down on that cash and use it maybe when you get a virus or when your kid needs something or when you're out of food or something, right? So people will... So it's already into the credit system. And when you get problems in credit system, aka people are not spending money, they borrowed on investment and development and so on, you get huge hit into the economy, right? And that's very bad. That is very bad.
It's frightening, but it's also interesting to see how this is going to turn out, because this has been in Europe the problem for the past 10 years. Actually, it has been the problem since the financial crisis. The loan distribution was supposed to be easy. Businesses got loans or did not get loans because there was no reason to spend. And now there is again no reason to spend. But because we are all too rich in Europe, it's also because there is everything you have to be pessimistic about. There's every single reason on the planet to be pessimistic. So there are now two reasons to not spend in Europe. So let's see how gets back to normal.
And follow up as well. Do you think that Eurozone survives this in the worst case scenario?
US will do what?
No, the Eurozone. Do you think that the Eurozone survives this? Because the Eurozone seems to be the most hit. We already had problems in Eurozone between the countries that are completely different, but in the same union. And now, this, I think, I don't know if this is only going to exaggerate the differences or is it going to bring people together? So, like, there's...
Great question, yeah. Yeah, I would say that it's more likely that it will bring together rather than cause even more... increasing differences, you know, because historically when bad things happen, European Union and Georgia in general, Europe, you know, gets united, you know, but also you had case like Second World War and so on, where it's something completely opposite happens, right, the First World War. So my prediction is probably going to get better because people start to develop this sense of community, you know. For example, even Russia sent out masks and medical brigades in Italy, you know, and I'm sure that Putin has been criticized a lot for that because you might get huge outbreak in Russia, right? But people help each other out. People do help each other out. Seeing it will only accelerate, but it might be too late. It might be too late because with this virus, once you are over X number of cases, it gets almost impossible to stop it, right? And it's similarly with the economy. Once you get enough defaults and enough people losing jobs, it's very hard to recycle back and continue this bull run, right? So it's almost impossible.
One thing I will ask as well is we talked about S&P, and I think you think as well that S&P hasn't bottomed yet, right? It hasn't hit the bottom, obviously. That's not the main sell-off that happened in these part, a week ago. Even now in Wall Street Journal, it comes out, this is not yet the sell-off. I was like, oh, no shit. Do you think that maybe in terms of companies as these, let's say Hilton or Marriott, or let's say the big airliners, do you think that their stock already hit the bottom? Or have you looked at that? Do you have any opinion regarding
that? Good question. American Airlines or United Airlines, they're not going to go anywhere, okay? Or Boeing, some people think that Boeing will go bankrupt, you know? No, I'm completely wrong. Boeing is national security issue in U.S. Boeing is a part of U.S. national identity. If there is a single company that will be bailed out first, it will be Boeing, and everyone else will follow after. There may be a few banks as well, because things are so connected in the banking system. So I don't see any big defaults in airlines. Maybe one of them will go get default. Maybe Spirit Airlines, which is terrible airlines, by the way. I'm not sure. Hopefully not. But they might make an example out of one company just to send a signal that you cannot be completely reliant on the government, you know, because that's actually an important signal. It's a very, very important signal. And I think all of those guys will be bailed out. But you will get lots of political problems with that. People get so angry about their money being used to bail out all these big corporations, capitalist corporations. So everyone who is, for example, on the side of, you know, Bernie Sanders supporters, they will go complete. They will be completely upset about this, and you will get a lot of big political problems and huge fights, maybe both physical and not physical as well.
Yeah, and that's basically the third topic, which is kind of safety. And one question I also had is like, when we talk about safety and we talk about political rift and everything, and we can say that now the government is sending some money to American citizens, but at the same time, you have to remember that in this country, there are millions and millions of people who are not citizens, who are not legally here, and who are all working in the service industry. Exactly. What happens to those people? What's the consequence of these people not having the job, being here, not being able to return?
That's the worst. Those will be ones that will be hit the worst. And it's so sad, right? Because just imagine they don't have any health insurance, right? They cannot even get Medicaid because they are not legally here, right? Their jobs are gone. If you are owner of the restaurant, let's say you have two people working with you legally and two people working with you illegally, who you're going to fire first? Of course, illegal. People who are illegally here, you know, because you know government will not punish you for that. You also identify with them much less, right? Assuming that a restaurant owner is not illegally here himself, right? So you have
that's a big assumption.
That might be a big assumption. You're right, yeah. And so those people will be the ones who will be hit the hardest. It's one. Second, you have lots of people who will be let out of prisons. I would say we will get probably likely one virus outbreak or more in prisons. And what will result is lots of people will be let out probably. And those people will have, of course, no saving. So we have, so won't be able to find any job, of course, because there are no jobs right now. So it would be very hard and very risky, you know. So I don't want to be too pessimistic here, but I just want convey that it's important to think about economy, health, and safety as well. This is all these three are completely intertwined with each other. If people have no food, what they're going to do? They're going to kill themselves and die of hunger? Definitely not, right? So survival is the biggest desire and biggest instinct. People do not realize what things people are willing to do to survive, you know? And more problems you get, faster fear spreads, so faster, so all the adrenaline rush goes through the roof, right? I don't expect anything bad, but I would say there are some chances of some very bad things happening in the big cities, you know, in a few weeks, very bad. Because here's the thing, lots of people still have not experienced what we are right now, where we are already. They have not experienced because why? For example, people have not paid rent that usually comes due in 8 days, right? In April 1st. People have not paid their credit card bills, which also usually comes on April 1st, right? People do not realize that they lost huge amount of savings. People do not realize that $1,000 that government is promising will come too late and will not be enough. People have not, almost no one knows anyone who had the virus. Or no one has, at least anyone is a family, right? So you have no idea. So just imagine when you see your good friend, you know, like being hospitalized and barely breathing, or person dying, young person dying. Why? Because there were no ICU or ventilators for him left, right? That will shock people even more. And U.S. is in a much worse situation than, I would say, anywhere in the world, especially New York City, you know. New York will be, I think it will be most problematic in New York because there are already lots of cases and it's undersupplied and its government was late. Government took steps very, very late.
Do you think, two questions, do you think that the United States is in that position more than other countries, let's say, because of the perception that people have, especially young people, that were basically, I think people thought in the beginning that this is like, oh yeah, we're going to have a week off and we're going to have some wine at the house and chill because times are going to be good again. That kind of perception, because good times are mostly, I mean, 80% of the times living here, it's good times. You know, like if you come from Eastern Europe, well, a couple of wars, you know, a couple of scrambles with your neighbors, bad people and stuff. So you kind of have this bad scenario in your mind, you know, like you've seen or like your parents have seen when it's very bad, right? So you kind of can get prepared mentally and you've been there. Do you think that has an impact? And the second question is, that related to this, maybe a little bit, what do you think is the probability of having an inflationary recession here in the United States?
That's a great question. And regarding to the first point, there are some countries that in general are fundamentally much better positioned to handle the situations than exactly. Yeah, Bill is one of them probably. They are fundamentally much better. But for example, Russia, you know, Russia went through so many problems that people's patience levels there, I would argue, is 10 times higher than anywhere else in the world. Or China, people are extremely disciplined there, you know, extremely. When government tells you, wear a mask, you wear a mask. In US, first of all, government cannot tell you because of liberty and all the aspirations. And second of all, even if government tells you there are no masks, can you imagine that country of this affluence has no masks, no ventilators, and nothing, you know? This is where China got lucky. because of China was having huge pollution levels, everyone had masks there. When I was in China, in my hotel, I had 3 masks, you know. Construction works, everyone had the masks. It was a fashion trend, actually, you know. You if you had some fancy masks, you're a cool guy in China, you know. And so they already had lots of masks. And also it's a manufacturing hub, right? So they can produce millions of masks in a few days versus the U.S. where who does masks? Only a few corporations, very few corporations, right? And you have guys like Elon Musk talking how he will not do it, you know? And so it's problematic. And second question about inflation and recession. So here is saying, I would say countries, small countries, emerging market countries, unfortunately, including our own potentially a lot, probably not euro, bill, but small countries, you know, their currencies will get completely, I would predict, where go get crushed, to be honest. I expect 300% weakening, you know. So for example, if one USD can buy 3 units of your currency, I expect to go to 10 around, you know. And those countries will be ones who will get inflationary recession first. And I would argue it's much worse. It's much worse. If you look at what has been happening in Venezuela, if you look at what has happened in many countries, including Weimar Germany, it's extremely hard to handle, very hard to handle. Countries who have taken lots of debt in foreign currency, in USD and euro and so on, those will be ones who will not be able to contain inflation.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And I think Mexico is one of those countries. And I think I actually read even before this happened, is that because there were low interest rate in general in the Eurozone and low interest rates in the United States, many countries took the opportunity, well, I'm doing the question marks, the marks, the opportunity to take out loans in foreign currencies, which is always a big risk if you're a small country. And these countries, to your point, might get really, really in a very, very bad state because
very bad.
One good thing is Montenegro has euro, so you're part of the German bank. Deutschland.
that's a good point. It's taking loan in foreign currency can be very, very disastrous, And now you cannot reverse it, right? You cannot reverse this. This will just take time, right? For example, in Georgia, what we did was government created all this incentive system of how to incentivize people to take loans in local currencies versus USD. And we actually reduced our debt amounts in foreign currency substantially, you know. So, but I mean, now it's too late. Now you cannot really do this in this situation because people might start questioning your intentions, you know, and if people lose belief and credit, if government lose credibility. And speaking of credibility, this is the worst part. When government is not telling you the truth or sugarcoating things because they do not want to cause panic, it's just a matter of time before people will stop believing in the government. They will stop believing what government officials say. And when that happens, that usually will be when the virus is at the peak, virus is at the worst levels. And then you will have country who doesn't obey you anymore, you know, country who doesn't listen to you anymore. They will start listening more to Kim Kardashian and others and politicians, you know, and you will get a lot more problems because guess what? Someone like some influencer, he might be paid by cigar company to advocate that cigar cures coronavirus, you know? So this can get very, very bad. There's a real risk of people just like thinking about everything much, be much more skeptical, you know? And that's the biggest risk out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I agree. Do you have a question? Or
I'm good so far.
There's a lot of to take in, I guess. A lot of news. A lot.
We can conclude. We have seen better times.
Yeah.
We should, I guess, conclude in positive note for sure. But I just want to say one more time, only way to achieve dreams is to be real, to be hyper realist. Dealing realities is necessary. We can call it necessary evil, you know, or necessary pain to just get out of it, you know. And everyone should know that we will. This is temporary. We will be as prosperous as we were before. Sun will definitely shine again, and we will get out much stronger, much bigger. And we're going to disrupt everything again, same way that we have been disrupting lots of things much, much more positively, you know. So this will make us stronger, much stronger. And we're going to handle this and do very, very good job. Very good job. And we just should realize that this pain is temporary.
Yeah, and I just want to make a note that in the last podcast, if you remember, we were making jokes about not flying too close to the sun and Icarus and Dedal, and now it's the sun will shine again, you know. So it's kind of a self prophecy, but definitely. I mean, one good thing that I would say, we were talking about these inflation and too much debt in foreign currencies and stuff. I want to have two final questions, and do you think that maybe Japan save themselves by controlling this properly, because we know that Japan is super over leveraged, they have the most debt, I think.
That's a great point. I think they will have milder problems than other countries. I think they will also go to recession, very, very deep recession, because I think when you have a country like US and also Europe getting into recessions, there's no way to contain this. Absolutely no way, you know, unless you are completely isolated, and Japan is not isolated, you know. So I think there's no way, I don't expect decline of 80% in Japan, you know, or even 70%, you know. I would say there will be some countries which might be much less affected. Maybe Switzerland will do a good job economically, as it always does during tough times, you know. Maybe Japan will be one or another one. Sweden, we'll see.
At the same time, I want to ask you, we were talking about the small currencies kind of, and small countries having these inflations and the probabilities there. Do you think that this... That might cause investors to move into euros, dollars, and we saw investors moving already into dollars kind of this week to search for safety and stuff. Do you have any?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, lots of currencies already depreciated a lot, you know. For example, country I'm from already went, they depreciated around 20%, you know. And
which country?
Georgia. So Georgia, and lots of other countries will have a much worse situation, you know. I think one of the few biggest, I would say Turkey will be one of the biggest losers, for example. I think Turkey will be one of the lira will have one of the worst, with one of the West worst performers, I would argue.
In your opinion, I guess to conclude, maybe with a conclusion, the question, what do you think? In terms of probabilities, 3 months, 6 months, 18 months, and at the same time, a follow-up question, do you think that the solution to this is only a vaccine or some kind of a mask that can actually stop this? And then the things that we're doing currently now are just kind of mitigation strategies that don't really work, but kind of slow down the impact.
So if you're talking about the health, you know, I don't know what I don't know here. I definitely don't know much about the health and...
Economics.
So, but just to finish the health part first, you know, so health part, so I don't expect any vaccines in next maybe 6 months, you know, at least, you know, and at that point, we already will have almost all the cases that would happen there, you know, so people are talking about using malaria drugs to treat coronavirus, you know. How about we use malaria drug to cure cancer, you know? How about we use malaria drug to save the world and eradicate poverty and send our rocket to the Mars, you know? How about we do that? So it's a stupid false hope. That's the most dangerous thing, false hope. instead of people being careful about not getting the virus and potentially die as a result of it, because if they get hospitalized, there will be no hospitals to go to, right? Instead of people singing about that, we give people false hope that there will be vaccine soon, you know? This is crime. This is crime against humanity, you know? And this is worse than anything and anyone can do. You think that there was I don't want to go too deep here, but it's basically, just one part. So health-wise, I think we are not going to get it anytime soon. Here's my question. Why we don't have SARS vaccine? Why there's no SARS vaccine? Everyone saw all these biotech companies were working on SARS vaccine, right? Or H1N1 vaccine. Why we don't have those? Just think about this, right? We don't. And we probably will not. In this case, because Trump really accelerated everything much faster, I would say higher probabilities that we are going to have it. But then there is also another thing, right? The drug that has not been tested might be more likely to kill you than the virus the drug supposedly was planning to treat, you know? So you have a completely different risk of drug killing you, you know? So which is, just imagine, core virus probably will not kill you, you know? So if you take a drug, that will kill you. That will be even worse. So it's very dangerous. So in terms of economy, I might be completely wrong here. I might be completely wrong, but my expectation is we are going to get probably around, you know, 70%, 75% decline in S&P from the peak. And I think this will stay here for next 12 to 24 months as economic recession, borderline depression. And I would say that's most likely scenario of what I think will gonna happen. We will not have as crazy drops as we had before, because just like fear levels went down a little bit, but now it will be more gradual. For example, when unemployment numbers come out, you have drop. When hedge funds and mutual funds respond huge losses, you'll have drops. When defaults go up through the roof and debt numbers are defaulted, we're reported, you have a drop. You'll have Trump giving a speech and market recovering, or then it goes down again. So this is like how people think that there will be decline every day. No, there will not be decline every day. There will be good days as well when very smart politicians make good speeches, you know. But it will be, you know, here is the thing. Losses in general should be avoided at all costs. Because if you go down from $100 to $90, which is 10%, in order to go back to $100, you need to go up by more than 10%, right? And what we see now is if market goes down by 8%, then we have next day recovery of 5%, right? And then it goes down again 4%, and then you hear
recovery of
2%. Yeah,
that's such a great point. Yeah, because it's not the same. It's exactly not the same.
Exactly.
Do you think that maybe to end on the positive note, the things that maybe we can learn from this? And I think, in my opinion, one thing that we're already seeing is in terms of, okay, not to be too crazy, but like in terms of the environment, you can see that stopping the economy for a second kind of shows like clear rivers, canals through Venice and stuff like this. So you can really kind of see the impact that we have. And at the same time, do you think that we might, go back to approach of zero to one of innovation instead of having these companies researching so-called SARS medication for 10 years, and then when you need it, they're still like, oh yeah, we don't have it, I'm sorry. Exactly. It's like what you've been doing for the last decade, bro. You know, like.
Yeah, okay, guess what? They switched to malaria because they think it can cure everything, you know, malaria drug. Yeah, so it's a great point. What we can learn? To be honest, I don't think we're going to learn anything. But I don't think we're going to learn anything, you know, because this is part of human nature that we do not think about once in a lifetime events, you know. No one wants to lose out of potential gains because once in a lifetime thing might happen and economy might go to shit, you know. No one wants to lose out, because just imagine you are, let's say, being very cautious, very much into gold, very much into treasury, and you have your friend who is making like 30% return in S&P, you know, and every time you meet this guy, he's bragging how good returns he's generating. You feel like a loser. You feel like you are a loser. So that's why people do not really sing or act that there might be once in a lifetime things that might completely crush things. You know, so I don't think we're going to learn anything, but what we are going to learn is that we just need to be faster. Government should be more efficient. This is what we're going to learn and realize. I'm not going to make a claim that this is the end of the democracy, but what people will realize that during tough times, non-democracies work much better than democracy, you know? So I would say that, because this is also what's sort of like was a trigger of why authoritarian regimes arose after Great Depression, right? Because people were looking for sort of efficiencies. They were looking for sort of tough hands, you know? So we might get we might go back at some degree, so there will be, democracy will be less respected, countries might become less democratic, actually. I'm not saying that we will get another Hitler, which we might, by the way, but there is a chance that something bad like that will happen, you know?
Yeah, and one thing I could recommend to any, this book, Democratic Ideals and Reality, talks about this. Very, very good book. In tough times, you want efficient rulers that no creativity, there's only minimizing efficiency. So we might see Bill rising up in the political with a set of pancakes.
I know. They just canceled his flight ticket. You know, he was already going there to politics. Because Angela Merkel will probably test positive. You know, she's unfit for leadership. You know, unfit already.
And you imagine how much anger there is if the.
I don't think she was ever fit to leadership, to be honest, but even now, on this day, you know.
Let people to Versailles, my friend. we're joking around. Archil, thank you so much, man. It was a high in the era where there is not much demand. This is a high demand episode, and thank you so much for.
Yeah, it's great, great pleasure always, and so we will. As I said, this will be temporary. We'll do very well. We'll definitely win very big, and we'll rise up much bigger, much better, much healthier, much more prosperous after this. And we are gonna, happiness will come back. It will come back, and it will come back faster than people think.
Perfect, man. Thank you so much. And I guess we can end it here.